The Son of God goes for to war, a kingly crown to gain. His blood-red banner streams afar, who follows in his train. Who best can drink his cup of woe, triumphant over pain? Who patient bears his cross below, he follows in his train.
Welcome to Season 2 of Death and Glory Podcast. My name is Peter Rasmussen. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, my friend, my brother in Christ, Jordan Parks. Death and Glory Podcast exists to remind Christians to love our King, die with honor, and live with hope imperishable, because Christ has been raised from the dead. Before we start, we want to remind you to check out Puritan.pub. This is a digital safe haven for Christians seeking a social media alternative to big tech. It was developed by a dear brother, Aaron Shafawaloff, and is a great way to connect with other believers. Open your browser and go to Puritan.pub/terms for more information. Also, if you're a fan of the show and would like to support Death and Glory, please visit our Patreon page. Search Patreon/Puritan Pub Media. Today, we're talking about the crown jewel of evil, abortion, the wicked practice of murdering children in the womb. Our goal today is not to persuade. Our stance is concrete. Abortion is evil, and no argument or emotional circumstance can make it right. It's demonic in every sense of the word. This episode is to learn what we as Christians are to do about it. With that said, we want to welcome to the show today, Pastor Joshua Jenkins. Joshua, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
So Joshua, would you just introduce yourself a little bit, tell us where you're from, what you're all about, and we'll get it over to you.
Yeah, so I live in Springfield, Missouri, down in the southwest part of the state. I'm a pastor at Hope Baptist Church, Reformed Baptist Church there. I've been pastoring there for, since 2017, however many years that is. I have a wife, Brittany, and we got two little boys that are full of life and energy. And so that's pretty much my life. And I know what we're going to talk about today. I'm also a part of an organization called Abolish Abortion Missouri. And I'm one of the board members for that organization. And those things pretty much take up my time, pastoring and family and Abolish Abortion Missouri.
Amen. Well, let's kind of set the stage a bit. We'll go back to 2022. The Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade in the Casey decision. The right is celebrating. The left is screaming and crying because it's now up to each state to decide abortion. Missouri had a trigger law in place, and it was one of the first, if not the first, to put it on the books. And overall, it seems like a very positive step. But now we're seeing that despite abortion being illegal in many states, they're still taking place. So for those of us who don't understand that, why is that the case?
Right. So the trigger law in Missouri, what it did was outlaw a lot of the surgical abortions. So in terms of like Planned Parenthood or any abortion clinics around the state, those have effectively been shut down. And so on the one hand, that seems like a great thing. The problem with the trigger laws is that, like all pro-life legislation, it's not a bill of equal protection. And so it outlaws, or a better term would say, it regulates more heavily the abortion industry while not actually making it totally illegal. And so, interesting, I wish I had the numbers here in front of me, but you can find them. The abortion numbers for Missouri women, it has not decreased. It's actually increased since the overturning of Roe v. Wade and the trigger law that came into effect. Now, the problem is it's going to be even harder, I think, to rectify the issue, because people point to the fact, well, there's no abortion clinics doing surgical abortions in Missouri. But what is completely legal is self-managed abortions, and very easy to access, different pills, chemical abortions, things like that. And there are organizations who will give these for free to women, will pay for them, whatever it takes. And the sales for those in Missouri have gone way up since the trigger law, thus the higher abortions. Also, what you have is, again, I wish I had the numbers in front of me, but the abortion rates for our neighboring states, Illinois and Kansas, have both gone up since Missouri's trigger law, which tells us not only is it the pill that's killing babies in Missouri now at a higher rate, but these women are simply just crossing over the border, Kansas City area, and the Illinois border around St. Louis area. So the bills, the trigger law seems good on the outside. It kind of pacifies the pro-life organizations and pro-life people who don't really know any better, but it hasn't solved the problem at all. It has just regulated more heavily, but more regulation kind of causes that to go in other ways. So what the bill does not say, what it needs to say, is that it does not say life begins at conception, and therefore any intentional taking of the life is murder. It doesn't make it a crime. It just says you can't abort your baby in these ways any longer or in these places any longer. So that's kind of the issue that a lot of people don't realize with the trigger law. They say, you know, abortion is gone in Missouri, but it's just been done in different ways. And Missouri women are still killing their babies at an even higher rate.
So I think you kind of described it, but for our audience, what is equal protection?
Equal protection is just a very simple idea that in our legislation, according to the scriptural standards, we define life beginning at conception, and therefore every life, whatever stage it's at, conception, 6 weeks, whatever, the laws against murder would apply equally to persons at all stages of life. So, you know, in past, you've had other bills like a 20-week bill or a heartbeat bill that says when you detect a heartbeat, that's when abortion's illegal, things like that. Those are bills of unequal protection where it applies an unequal standard of weights and measures, and not all life is protected equally. So equal protection we advocate for, which is the same laws apply to all persons, defining persons beginning at conception.
Got it. So we see not only from our state legislatures, unequal weights and measures. Kind of going back to last episode, we mentioned the ERLC a little bit. Mm-hmm. Brent Leatherwood, president of the ERLC right now, some would describe him as a snake, is on record saying that the ERLC believes that, you know, they do believe that abortion is murder. But they also say that they need to support and listen to, have empathy for women rather than hold them accountable for murder. And when directly asked about that, they see a difference between those two things. How are we supposed to win? Are we as Christians supposed to win when our leaders, our own Baptist leaders, are seemingly opposing the truth of God's word?
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough when you have people with the platform and influence who are supposed to be the leaders who are just wrong on this issue. But it just comes down to, I think, the most important thing when we have corrupt higher ups in our religious organizations, it comes down to your local churches and getting the pastors on a local church level aware of the issues and willing to teach them to their people in the local churches. And that's part of what we believe as Missouri abolitionists, is that for abortion to truly be abolished in our state or any state, it's going to require God's people in the churches reforming their thinking of it, reforming their the way they approach it politically. And so, you know, the people in higher ups are going to disappoint us, but the real action is in God's Spirit working through God's people at a local level. And that can be where I think we see historically where a lot of real reform and change takes place anyway. And so we shouldn't be so glamorized with looking at the big stage people. They'll let us down. They have all kinds of different interest groups, you know, politicking for them. And so we just want to be faithful on a local level with what's right in front of us. And if that means we go against what the ERLC or other organizations say, then so be it.
So speaking of politicking and those interest groups, last year, 2023, you brought a equal protection bill, right, to Missouri legislature. And if I remember correctly, the pro-life groups actually spoke in opposition to that. Can you kind of walk us through that a little bit? What was that experience like and what actually happened there?
That's correct. Yeah, we've actually had a legitimately bill of equal protection every year since 2018 in the state of Missouri. It started off each year. It's been sponsored by Senator Mike Moon. He started off in the House. So 2018 and maybe a couple years after that, it was a House bill. The last several years, he's been now in the state Senate. And so, yeah, last year's bill was, again, sponsored by Mike Moon in the Missouri State Senate. We received a hearing for the bill. And basically, the way the process works in Missouri is once a representative or a senator files a bill, it's up. That bill will then be assigned to a committee. There's tons of different committees within our state legislature. And then the chairman of whatever committee that bill is assigned to, he'll have a bunch of bills he or she assigned to their committee. Then it's up to them. They have, at any point in time, the power to give that bill a hearing date or not, or just let it die. So I forget who the chairman was last year, but it was given a hearing date. And so once it's given a hearing, they will read the bill. Anybody who's a citizen, actually you don't have to be a citizen, anybody can come and watch and listen and observe as a witness. And they'll read the bill. Mike Moon will say things in favor of it. They'll have someone speak in opposition to it. Well, so I'll back up to 2 or 3 years ago, we had a Senate bill, and they allowed everybody who wanted to speak could get in line. It can speak in favor or against it. So there was probably 80 people or so speaking in favor of the bill. The people who spoke against the bill were, at that time, a few years ago, it was some Jewish rabbis from St. Louis area and a couple of the pro-life leaders in the Missouri pro-life organizations. Fast forward then to last year's bill, they only allowed two people on each side to speak for 2 minutes, and that was it. They didn't allow any more hearing, and we had like 150 people there or something.
Wow.
Who'd never got a chance to speak. So anyway, we had Jeff Durbin was in town from End Abortion Now, Apologia Radio. So we can only pick two people. We let him speak because he's so experienced at that. And then also we had Bradley Pierce in town from End Abortion or Abolish Abortion Texas. He's a lawyer, also very well spoken at that. So we had them speak for us. And then the two people who spoke in opposition were not people from Planned Parenthood. They were not Democrats or pro-choicers. Well, they are pro-choicers, but they call themselves pro-lifers. One was Samuel Lee, who is the leader of Campaign Life Missouri. He's a Roman Catholic, and that's one of the largest pro-life organizations in the state of Missouri, Campaign Life Missouri. He spoke against it, and I'm blanking. I forget there's another woman who spoke against it. I believe she was with Right to Life Missouri, and they were the ones who opposed this bill. And the reasons were they did not want to call it murder and thus hold women or whoever's involved in procuring the abortion as criminally liable. So the opposition has been from Campaign Life Missouri and Right to Life Missouri. And they already this year, we already have. Session doesn't start till January, but you can pre-file bills December 1. And Mike Moon, again, this year, first December 1, filed. It's Senate Bill 775, exact same bill. And we also had Bob Titus, who's a representative in the House of Missouri. First year, he's a freshman representative. He also filed a bill, same bill on the House side. As soon as he did, immediate pressure from Samuel Lee of Campaign Life Missouri. And there was a few national media outlets who picked it up and were pressuring Bob Titus and Mike Moon to withdraw their bills. Bob Titus, unfortunately, sadly, withdrew his bill. Mike Moon is standing strong. But yeah, it was pressure from the pro-life organizations which caused Bob Titus to decide to withdraw his bill. So that's the opposition we are actually facing, is from the pro-life organizations.
I just find that wild. Political interests aside, it sounds like there's a wide discrepancy. And I don't know the Missouri Right to Life people and the other person that you mentioned. I don't know if they're Christians. I don't know if they're professing Christians or not. But it sounds like nationwide, we are at a point in history where we do not know our Bibles and people are not discipled particularly well. So as a pastor, how would you counsel these people if you had the time to sit down and talk with them? You know, they say they're right to life. They're pro-life. They want babies to live, yet they're against this abolition movement. What would you say to them? What would you say to our audience is the biggest difference between those viewpoints and how they cannot coalesce?
Yeah, I think the biggest issue is just fear of man, because when you talk to pro-life people, most normal, your everyday pro-life Republican person, professing Christian conservative, they're going to be agreeing with me in everything I say. And like they would say abortion, yeah, it should be totally illegal, totally ended. We don't want that at all. But when it comes down to it, like, I don't want to pick on him, but Bob Titus, he believes in these things, but there's a fear that people have to follow the biblical teaching of equal protection to its logical end. And so that means if a woman intentionally kills her baby with an abortion, she has murdered that child. And so there's a fear of calling a woman a murderer, and thus murderers should be criminally responsible for that and justly have a trial and let it play out. And so I think that's ultimately what it boils down to, because if someone believes the Bible, they're going to see the truth of equal protection, justice, murder is wrong always. But it's just fear of man, fear of what the enemy or the other side can do to you. Mike Moon's political career is a black sheep in a predominated Republican state. And that's odd, but that's what you face if you just logically follow it to its conclusion and just say, this is what the truth is. I can do no other. Hmm. So we just have to overcome fear and fear God more than man.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Do you notice any sort of like religious affiliation differences between the pro-life and abolition groups?
Well, in terms of the leadership, Samuel Lee of Campaign Life is a Roman Catholic. So not Protestant, but professes, you know, the Roman Catholic Church, there's nothing within their doctrinal standards or their canons or whatever that that would be against the abolition position. So I don't know if that is a determining factor in what's different between Roman Catholics and Protestants on the issue. But I think a lot of, I mean, Missouri's, you know, is predominantly going to be a Protestant state for people who profess religion and Christianity. So most of the people, grassroots people, are going to be some sort of professing Protestant. How theologically sound or deep they are, you know, probably more on the shallow end, to be frank. But yeah, that's kind of my experience.
So this is where we're going to get into sticky water with our FBI handlers and anyone who outside of our church is going to listen. You know, we hear all the time, especially from the left, the Democratic Party, women are victims, right? Women are victims of oppression and misogyny and all these other things. And we all three of us here can sit here and can completely sympathize with, let's say, a 15-year-old girl who made an honest mistake in having premarital sex, getting pregnant, and her parents or her boyfriend or whatever, her friends at school saying, oh, you need to get an abortion because this pregnancy is going to ruin your life. We can all sit here and say, yes, we feel sorry for you. We know that the consequences from this sin are going to severely and drastically affect your life. But I would say that the vast majority of us who really have our pulse on the society, most of the women getting abortions do not fall within that story arc. Many women are out having sex willy-nilly whenever they want, and abortion is just the fix-all to basically stay that consequence. And so would you say that women are victims in a sense of in the crime of abortion?
Yeah, so that's you're getting at frankly the idol of our day, which is women. If you're a man and you say that a woman can sin or do wrong, then you are tipping against the idols of our day. And that's part of the fear, is a man has no place to say what a woman can do. That's kind of been the mantra of the left, is you can't tell a woman what to do with her body. So certainly there are cases, like you mentioned, where you have a teenage girl or something, or even to a greater extreme, there are cases where a young lady is legitimately pressured against her will by the boyfriend or whatever. That does happen. And in that case, you know, that would be recognized. And a woman who is forced to get an abortion in that situation would be somewhat of a victim in that situation. But in a case which is the normal case, where a woman just doesn't want her life to be radically changed, doesn't want the inconvenience as she sees it, sadly, it doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man or whatever you are. Just because you're the mother doesn't mean you have the right to kill your child. In fact, that's almost, frankly, more heinous than a stranger murdering a child. You have someone's own mother who has been providentially ordained by God to nurture and bring up a child who then turns around and does the most extreme opposite of that. That's not a victim. It's unbelievable criminality. And, you know, the other part of this too, I was thinking while you were posing that question, is one of the things I think we have kind of lost as evangelicals or Protestants in our day is that, of course, the law does not save us. It doesn't change hearts. It's very clear. We We say that very clearly. But the law is a teacher. And we have had laws for 40, 50 years in America now that have taught and catechized young women that abortion is not murder. It has taught them that abortion is health care. Okay, so now if we had laws that taught women abortion is murder and it will be treated as such, that will change people's behavior. People will still commit crimes. People, you know, murder of a normal person is illegal, and that hinders people from committing murder, and yet murders still happen. So yeah, abortions could still happen, but it would teach people what it is, and they would live accordingly.
Yeah, I think along that same vein with laws, we saw recently in Iowa, you know, the Satanic Temple people got that stupid goat head statue or whatever it was put up there, got torn down. But you saw a lot of people who claimed to be Republicans, claimed to be conservative, defending that and saying, oh, well, you know, this, you know, you just, we got to let it be. Everybody gets a seat at the table, you know, free speech, you know, we're, you know, this is the liberal democracy here. We got to let everybody, you know, express what they feel, right?
Everyone needs a seat at the table.
Yeah. So when you kind of see those two things together, it sounds a lot like the stuff you hear with abortion. Do you see like the fruit of liberalism in the last 60, 70 years being Satan worship and baby murder?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It would just be unthinkable to Christians of a few hundred years ago that this would even be an issue or a debate. And, without a doubt, when we say, hey, every religion needs a seat at the table, we've lost the ground. They have now set the terms of the game. When I think it was Gary North who once said, Jesus does not just want a seat at the table, he owns the table. So we need to return to that idea that when you say everyone gets a seat at the table, well, that relegates Jesus to a seat at the table, which he will not do. When you say we begin with Christ and his laws and we go from there, that's the foundation. That's the starting point. And we've left that foundation. We've said, let's leave Christ's table and make an inclusive table. And that means now you get no Christ eventually.
Absolutely. So we see some on the right, kind of in our own conservative circles, who would say, you know, in maybe in order to win in some other areas, maybe lower taxes, maybe, I don't know, a stronger economy, maybe let's punt on the abortion issue and elect somebody who would hold to a lesser view of abortion than we would particularly want. What would you say to those who are maybe tempted to think in that way?
Yeah, that's worshiping mammon over valuing life, people created in God's image. And if you want lower taxes and a better economy, you will not get it by continuing to have innocent blood shed in our land.
Well said.
It's not, you know, economics are not disconnected from morality. And when you have an idolatrous, murderous people, immoral people, you can't have both free morality and a booming free economy. You might get it in short bursts, but it won't last. And God will judge a land that kills its children. And it's just a terrible trade-off.
Yeah. Do you think the U.S. is under judgment?
I think it would be pretty naive to not at least consider that that's very real, a possibility. I don't know God's prerogative and all that he's doing, but you can certainly see there are, I mean, the fact that we do have and have had for decades children murdered, I mean, that is judgment itself. The fact that our future is being cut off through abortion is a judgment. So I think we have to say, yeah, and that's just one example. I mean, there's so many areas in our nation where you point and say, hey, somewhere in the Bible, it's, you know, it talks about how, you know, women and children ruling over you is judgment. Yeah. And we see that as progress or something. It's only more progress into greater judgment.
So we mentioned on the left, abortion being, well, it's an idol for them, right? It's almost, well, I wouldn't say it's almost, it has taken on a very religious feel to it, mm-hmm. To where it is not just something to that we want everyone to be okay with, but it is a sacred right of the left. It is a pinch of incense. It is sacrificing to the god Molech. And if you say that I cannot give that right, if I cannot have that right to murder my child, then, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're not allowed to be a Democrat today if you do not fully support,
right,
you know, even post-birth.
Well, not even that, but I don't even know if you're allowed to run in the circles in Hollywood the upper echelons of government and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Why is abortion the sacred right of the left? When I say right, I'm not talking, to the right of Peter. I'm talking R-I-T-E for our listeners here. Why is it so sacred for them?
Well, I think that's not, I don't know if you guys will go this far with me, but I don't think that's just a metaphor. I think that's literally true. I think in these upper echelons of society, there are people who literally worship Satan, and that is part of historical paganism and Satan worship is, I mean, you mentioned Molech, and from the Old Testament era, that's exactly part of the ritual worship to Molech, was literally giving your children to Molech for those things you mentioned, for greater prosperity and a better life. That's exactly what the reasoning is for so many abortions today, is my life is inconvenient. I'm going to give my child for a better life, so to speak. And so I think not only is it that kind of truth on a metaphorical level with the everyday person, but when you get in some of those elite places in our society, I think there's literal blood for Molech going on. And they will not allow that to go away without a real screeching fight. And that's why it's so hard to get out of the situation we're in. It's why it hasn't been done yet. Not a single state's been able to do it yet. So all to say is, I think one of the reasons it's so hard is because there are real spiritual battles going on, not just man-to-man metaphorical battles, but real spiritual strongholds of darkness that are just not going to let go easily.
I'm safe to say we will go there with you. We agree with that 100%. If I can take another turn, if you don't mind, I recently was listening to, you mentioned Jeff Durbin earlier, listened to an interview that he was doing. He was doing some speaking at the Colorado State Legislature a while back, and he was relaying a personal story, of being in his hotel room. It was the night before, he wasn't going to get a lot of sleep. And he talked about encountering demonic forces. He actually talked about him laying in bed, not being able to breathe, and he knew that something was coming after him, was choking him, cried out in the name of Christ, and it went away. So there are real demonic forces trying to keep child sacrifice legal, for sure. I'm interested, have you encountered any kind of noticeable demonic entities, even through people, resistance in your work?
Yeah, I don't think I can say I personally have. Not off the top of my head. Can I think of an example? No. I know that there are certainly, I don't live anywhere near an actual abortion clinic at this point, but we have people up in Kansas City area who go to on the Kansas side to the abortion clinic, stand outside, and they've encountered and relayed stories of facing people who they thought literally believed were oppressed, or if not possessed by demons, and just all in the blasphemy and hatred that's spewed out as they're just standing there calling out for mothers to turn back.
Yeah.
I've seen videos of that kind of stuff.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you can look on, you can search Twitter all day long and find, you know, abortion doctors coming outside, and you just see something in their eyes, you know, okay, something is not right here. So no one is that gung-ho about butchering a little baby, you know. It's wicked. It's evil.
You know, and when you think about along these lines too, we've seen, Project Veritas or other groups like that exposed the fact that Planned Parenthood was literally selling baby parts from aborted babies. You got, one of the questions we don't want to ask is, who are they selling these parts to?
Great question.
And for what purpose?
Yeah.
You know,
today on Twitter, I saw a couple different guys posting pictures and videos of, you know, just outside abortion clinics, and they just, you know, put the babies in boxes, and Stericycle comes by and picks them up, and there's a guy wheeling them out in boxes I mean, it's just sickening to think about that there are little babies inside there have been murdered.
That's our own American Holocaust.
Yeah.
So with all that said, you know, what would you say to just the regular Joe Schmoes like Peter and I, regular everyday church members? How do we get into this fight? How do we support you guys who are going to, you know, the state and speaking? How do we even get on the front lines in this fight?
Yeah, I think the best bang for your buck, obviously, I don't want to just overlook or not give full credit to the fact of legitimate just prayer and discipling on this issue. And if you're anywhere near an abortion clinic in another state, you can get on the front lines there that way. And there are people standing outside them, and they're constantly saying, we need more people out here. And so that's something that can be done. That's just more of a gospel evangelistic type approach of standing at the gates of death and trying to hold back those who are being led to the slaughter, like Proverbs 24 says. But in terms of the political side of it and how we can help bring this to an end in our state of Missouri, there is very efficient ways that we can do that. And that is, we need citizens around Missouri getting to know their own representatives of their districts where they live, state senate and your House of Representatives. Get to know them, be in regular contact with them, and any opportunity you have to disciple them or call upon them to support, like this coming session, they'll have an opportunity to all the state senators to support or co-sponsor Senate Bill 775, which is the Abolition of Abortion in Missouri Act. And I think one of the problems is, politically, the Republican legislators who are all pro-life, they simply do whatever the pro-life organizations tell them to do. So if Right to Life or Campaign Life said, hey, support this bill, this is a good pro-life bill, no brainer, they're doing it. That's what their constituents want. If they say, don't support this abolition bill, they're not going to do it, unless you got the rare person like Mike Moon who really knows the principled issue. But if we had more local constituents telling their representatives, this abolition of abortion bill, we want supported, this is what we want, the more there is people doing that, at the end of the day, most of these people are just politicians. Whatever, where they feel the heat is where they're gonna, is where they're gonna go. And so the more we can have influence locally and get more people in our representatives supporting these things, that's where we can actually get the ball moving. You know, Mike Moon's a rare one of a guy kind. When Bob Titus withdrew his bill, I'll just say this. I know that one of the reasons was because he felt incorrectly, but he felt like he was all alone. If there were more people in his constituency that were calling him, emailing him, visiting him in his office saying, hey, don't back down. We love this bill. Keep going. He may have kept going. And so that's the biggest thing is Senate Bill 775, direct action, get to know your state senator, ask them on a weekly, monthly basis, hey, support this bill, you know?
So
that's the biggest thing.
One of the things that you'll often hear anytime you try to ask Christians to get involved in politics, they'll say, hey, you know, look, I'm just supposed to live a quiet life. I'm here to disciple my family, work my job, do what God's called me to do in that area. Why should I be getting involved in politics? What's your response to that?
Well, I'm very sympathetic to that because I get very tired of politics. I don't like it, really, to be honest. It would be nice if you could just ignore it all. You know, I heard this from Rusty Thomas, who you guys may be aware of. He's been faithfully fighting this fight as an abolitionist since Roe v. Wade in the 70s or whatever. He said, I heard him a year or two ago say this, the reason that people need to fight this fight is because you look at the principle from the Bible, like Leviticus chapter, and again, there's differences between Old Covenant Israel and us today, but there are principles underneath the specifics. And one of the judgments in Leviticus 18 is that the land was going to spew them out, and this is referring to the Canaanites. One of the reasons listed for the land spewing them out is the bloodshed of their children. And so for the sake of your grandchildren, your children, your grandchildren, if you want them to have a home and a future in a decently free place, you can't neglect this. I mean, eventually we're going to get spewed out, you know, unless we repent and turn to God. And so for the, hey, you may want to live a quiet life. You might be able to hide away from it and retire and be fine. But eventually someone's grandkids are not going to be able to hide away from it anymore. So for the sake of them, love them more than the quietness of your own life.
Well said.
Yeah, that's good.
Very well said.
Can I jump in again?
There you go for it, brother.
So you mentioned Mike Moon. He's consistently won re-election, it appears, right? He's been,
yeah.
I don't know exactly all of his campaign history, but, you know, he's a abolitionist, has been able to win a re-election. We recently saw Dusty Devers win a state Senate seat out in Oklahoma. I think a lot of people would tell you that if you are a Christian and you're running politics, you need to kind of try to toe the middle ground. Why should you lay it all on the table, be truthful, and stand firm when you're running as a politician?
Well, politically speaking, I think we're seeing as our day and age becomes so polarized that actually it's going to be, it's trending more successful politically even to be just totally principled, no shame, you know, no velvet tongue speech, but just say like it is. You know, that was kind of, you know, the Trump appeal for a lot of people, you know, whatever you think about him. But same thing with like a Dusty Devers type of guy and a Mike Moon is that, act, you know, being that honest and that straightforward actually is politically a good thing in most or many, a growing number of places. But more than just the pragmatics of politics, if you're, I mean, not just Christian, but every person is going to stand before God one day. And, you know, part of the problem of our modern life is we're so kind of disconnected from the reality of there is an eternity, and what we do right here and right now is going to matter in eternity. Mm-hmm. And this life is short. It might, you know, if you take those stands and be that bold, you will have opposition. You will face all kinds of opposition from people and spiritual forces of evil. But it's so short in comparison to eternity. And just having that sight of eternity, that can free someone to just go for it all right here and right now.
Amen.
Amen. It's almost like our show's about that very topic.
Yeah, right? Mm. Death and glory. Yeah. So I know we all know here, I know all of us here know the answer to this question. But just because it's so good, because we see it in Scripture, we are facing a political party that will do anything to win. We are facing demonic forces. What is our hope through all this?
Yeah, well, our hope is in the fact that, you know, the cliche is not cliche because it's true, and it's awesome that Jesus rose from the dead.
Amen.
And when he rose from the dead, he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and there he sits, having been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And he has not abdicated that spot. And so the nation's rage, you know, the Satan and his minions are not happy about it. And so they're going to lash out and fight like angry chained up dogs, but that's what they are. And maybe bad for a moment, but Christ is the one with the authority. He really did rise from the dead. And so therefore we can't be destroyed. We can't be defeated in the end.
Amen.
Amen. So how can our listeners, aside from praying, speaking with their representatives or senators, how can they get involved with abolition in Missouri?
Yeah, I think one of the things everybody needs to do who's listening to this, who wants to be involved or to be up to date on what's going on, go to our website, which is abolishabortionmo.org. And when you go there, you can sign up for our newsletter. And that will keep you up to date on everything that's going on in our state with legislation or events or whatever. And we'll send out throughout the session different action items. You know, different weeks, there'll be different people to call. You know, if it's a chairman, you know, we would say, hey, this week we need to call chairman so-and-so and ask him or her to give this bill a hearing, or whatever it is. So you'll get action items if you sign up for that newsletter, and you'll have things to do once you do that. So sign up for there, and you'll be up to date on everything you can do.
Excellent. Good. Well, listeners, we've got work to do, sounds like.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, Joshua, thank you so much for coming on with us, brother. We really appreciate it. And
absolutely.
We hope and pray that God will continue to use your work down to Springfield and through the whole state of Missouri for his glory and to save tiny souls.
Mm-hmm.
We really do.
Yeah, absolutely appreciate you guys having this conversation. And hey, one other thing I can share with people is that if anybody is up in the Chillicothe area, Chillicothe, Missouri, Abolish Abortion Missouri will be there on January 13th, it is Saturday. We'll be doing just a brief seminar on the state of abolition and current legislation issues and what people can do. So if you're in that area and you have we'd love to get more pastors aware of this issue. If you have a pastor you can invite to this or anybody who you think could know more, then please do so. I'm trying to find the details. I'm not able to. If you just go to our website, you can find it there. But January 13th in Chillicothe. I think it's Fellowship Bible Church, but our website will tell you.
Excellent. Yeah. Very good.
Well, thank you for listening to Death and Glory Podcast. We hope this episode edified you. We'd like to thank our producer, Noah, and the excellent and quality hard work that he has put into the show. Yeah, it's what makes it happen in the background. So please take a moment to go to your favorite podcast platform, like and review the episode, and even share it with your friends. And if you're a fan of the show and would like to support Death and Glory, please visit our Patreon page, search Patreon/Puritan Pub Media.
See you guys next time.
If you have friends in glory land who left because of pain, thank God up there they'll die no more. They'll suffer not again. Then weep not, friends, I'm going home. Up there we'll die no more. No coffins will be made up there. No graves on that bright shore. The lame will walk in glory land. The blind up there will see. The deaf in glory land will hear. The dumb will talk to me. The doctor will not have to call. The undertaker, no. There'll be no pain up there to bear. Just walk the streets of gold. We'll need no sun in glory land. The moon and stars won't shine. For Christ himself is light up there. He reigns of love divine. Then weep not, friends, I'm going home. Up there we'll die no more. No coffins will be made up there. No graves on that bright shore.